or God's Grace for You should be aired on Monday, the date on the label. Well, greetings. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you. We trust, as always, your time in the Lord has been profitable. You're growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. But perhaps, perchance, if you are not a believer in Christ, or maybe you believe that there was a historical Jesus, but this gospel thing, faith alone and Christ alone, maybe is perplexing to you. Maybe you're not quite sure. We have something we'd like to offer you. It's simply called The Gospel. I think it's one of the finest things in print, very simplistically done. It's done so it's not designed for the theologian. It's designed for the everyday average person. This will present you with a clear presentation of the gospel. This is non-sectarian. This is not pushing some denominational bent. This is purely and simply the gospel, filled with chapters and verses, illustrations, things that I think will at least, if not in and of itself, will certainly be something that will be a tool that can direct your steps to the scripture. So we'll send it to you free. It's called The Gospel. Give us a call, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900, or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, or you can send us a letter. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. So, as always, we trust that you'll avail yourself of the free material. Also, too, you can get still the fact sheet that we've been offering on the subject of tongues. If you like that fact sheet, you can get that as well. Simply request it the same way you would request the book, The Gospel. Now, with all that said, we want to begin answering some, I don't want to say challenges, because we really haven't received any of those, but we want to start answering some scripture that some of you have shared with us that you find problematic when talking about the issue of tongues. And I think we've done several weeks on this. And again, if you're just coming in the middle of the movie, so to speak, perhaps you need to call and request the tapes on the subject. I believe right now there's about 3 weeks of those, of programs. And you need that background, because for time constraints, we can't go back and rehash everything again. But we want to look at a couple of these things. And but before we do, you need to learn some basic things. There are words that are used in the scripture. For example, let's take the word flesh. Overwhelmingly in the New Testament, when we find the word flesh, it's not talking about your skin. It's not talking about that. It's talking about your sin nature, your own carnality. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul rebukes the Corinthian church for being carnal, for not having grown in grace and knowledge of Christ, for being spiritual babes, for not being able to handle the strong meat of the word, but still having to be in pablum, or milk, if you will, because they're still babes in Christ, because they have refused to grow and to mature. So when we find the word flesh, it's always the old nature, unless the context is talking about the flesh on someone's bones, etc. But in the New Testament specifically, we find flesh overwhelmingly is a reference to your carnality, your old sin nature. Now, conversely, when the scripture is not talking about, for example, walking in the flesh, which would not mean simply being alive, it would mean what? Walking in your carnality. In other words, being carnal. Now, the opposite side of that is walking in the spirit, or being spiritual. So we find that the believer can do what? The believer can pray in the flesh, and the believer can pray in the spirit. The believer can walk in the flesh, the believer can walk in the spirit. Now, that when you see praying in the spirit or walking in the spirit, this is not some mystical, supernatural thing. This is not God the Holy Spirit coming upon you doing something unusual. This is the norm for the believer who's in the right fellowship, right frame of reference, right mindset with the Lord. as opposed to being in his flesh. So then when a person then prays in the flesh, what does that mean? Well, they're praying carnally. They're allowing the patterns of lust in their lives, as James tells us, to direct their prayer life, as opposed to a believer who would pray in the Spirit, who's allowing his new man to be in control and subsequently praying accordingly. Now, it doesn't mean anything physically. It's talking about a volitional state, whether you have surrendered, whether you have grieved and quenched the Spirit within and allowed the flesh to rule and reign, or you have overcome the flesh and allowed the Spirit then to lead and guide and reign in your life. This is not some mystical thing. It is the norm, or should be the norm, for the believer. So we'll find those contrasts throughout the New Testament. We'll find, for example, works of the flesh in contrast with works of the Spirit. Can the believer do the works of the flesh? Of course they can. That's why they're there. That's why we're told about them. Can the believer then do the works of the Spirit? Of course he can. Does that mean the Spirit physically is doing the work? No, not at all. Again, it's the contrast demonstrating the mindset. Now, if we make everything mystical and spiritual, we have a real problem, because then there's no practical reality to the Christian life at all. And we find ourselves in the quagmire that so many professing Christians are in today. Now, for example, when we're talking about the issue of tongues, we have said for several weeks now that Paul is rebuking the Corinthian church in chapters 14 specifically. He's rebuking the manner in which they gather together. And when you see, for example, Paul talking about somebody speaking, and let me help you again. Remember, tongue or tongues, unless the context specifically says it's the organ in your mouth, it's a dialect. It's a language. It's a known language somewhere by somebody on the planet. It is not some language that no one knows but God. That does not exist. You can't find that anywhere in the Scripture at all. But when the Bible talks about speaking, it's not the same as when the Bible tells us to pray, is it? When you speak to someone, are you praying to them? And the answer is no. When you pray, you direct all your prayers to the Father in heaven, correct? If you're biblical. So there's a big difference between speaking to someone and praying to someone. Well, we find when the issue of tongues crops up, especially in the Corinthian church, or even the book of Acts for that matter, people are what? Speaking in tongues. Now, again, to the person today who's bought the party line, who's been taught something, well, speaking in tongues means praying in tongues. No, it doesn't. Words mean things. To speak is to communicate, to talk. If I'm speaking to you right now, I'm not praying to you right now. And if I would begin praying to you right now, then I would be what? Then I would be committing sin. I would be transgressing, because my prayer is to be directed to God the Father and no one else. So there's a big difference between praying and speaking. Now, if you don't understand that, then all sorts of things are going to become problems for you. Things that are different are not the same. The word speak begins with an S. The word pray begins with a P. Look up the definitions. They have different meanings. Now you say, well, wait a minute. When you pray, you're speaking. Yes, but prayer is a specific type of communication. And our prayers are directed to God. They're not directed to men, not directed to men at all. So then if the Bible starts talking about speaking in tongues, it's not talking about speaking to God, is it? It's talking about communication to other people. For example, Acts 2, the 11 apostles spoke. They spoke to who? They spoke to Jews. How? In tongues. Spoke in languages. Tongues means language, means dialect. They spoke in those languages of those people. Now, that wasn't prayer. They communicated the gospel. Now, we get to, for example, 1 Corinthians 13:1. Paul says, though I speak, and it follows on the path of beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1, where Paul says he wants to change the subject to spiritual things. Spiritual things. Now here in chapter 13, he continues showing, obviously, that without love, it makes no difference what abilities you may have that God may have given you. He's talking to the church here at Corinth. Makes no difference what abilities God had given them. If they're not motivated, grounded, and rooted in love, they're worthless. They will not accomplish anything. Anything for God. Now, 13:1, he says, though I speak, he doesn't say, though I pray, does he? Though I speak with the languages of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, what is Paul saying here? Someone says, well, Paul is distinguishing between human language and angelic language. Now, there's no basis for that here at all. Paul is saying this, though I speak with the languages of men, which men? How many languages? Well, you know, he's saying, though I speak with the languages of mankind and angels. Now, this is what we call hyperbole. Paul is making an exaggeration here to make his point. Paul is saying, in other words, we could say this. He says, though I speak with every language in heaven and earth, if I don't have love, then it's worthless. It's pointless. You say, well, is Paul making a clear distinction between angel language and man language? Listen, everywhere an angel appears, what does he speak? He speaks, obviously, the dialect that people know. It's not an unknown gibberish that no one can understand but God, is it? Certainly not. Now, again, let me show you how Paul uses hyperbole, how he makes just an exaggeration to make his point. Look in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 19. He says, yet in church had I rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue or in a language that cannot be understood by the people around me. You think Paul is saying that when we're in church we should only speak five words? No, that's silly. But he's making this example for us. And he's saying with the huge stretch here, 5 to 10,000, or though I spoke with the languages of every man on earth, everyone in heaven, all the languages, if I have not love, then it's pointless. So Paul is not committing to us or teaching us or telling us there's some secret language. He's telling us that it makes no difference how you operate in any spiritual ability. If it's not rooted in love, then it is pointless. Now, if you like the offer this week, the gospel, you can have it absolutely free. Give us a call. Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900. Most importantly, join us tomorrow at this same time.